This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. He is fresh off a broadcast of about 3 hours ago where North Carolina took care of business, knocking off Syracuse. It was an interesting night of hoops. Mr. Durham, hope you got plenty of sleep and you're ready to go. We have a lot to talk about.
Define plenty.
Well, for you would be probably 7+. For me, it would be like 45 minutes.
No, we didn't get to 7. But nonetheless, here we are, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to go, right, as they say?
So, that's it.
Interesting night, though. All three home teams won. All three won by 5 or more, 6 or more, right? I mean, kind of an interesting night when you think about it. Three different type of ball games, but tell you what, Blacksburg, we thought going in, you mentioned this yesterday, was the better of the three games. Interesting contest. Virginia Tech kind of showed their wares. Duke got Jalen Johnson back, albeit in limited role last night. End of the night, though, Tyrese Radford, 18 points, 12 rebounds. Keve Aluma played well. Virginia Tech goes to 10-2 and 4-1 with a 7-point victory last night over Duke.
They are a better team than Duke. Last night, they never trailed. They were up by 18 in the first half, doing a warm-up drill in which Duke refused to defend anybody with the ball. They did make a run. You expect that because it's Duke and it's Coach K. They were just going to sit there and accept it. They got it within one in the second half, but they never took the lead. Virginia Tech, like I said, kind of dictated tempo from the opening tap, jumping out to an 11-2 lead. And went from there. And like I said, they ended up 18 in the first half. Now, I've seen this now a couple times. We saw the BC-Duke game last week in which BC went up to a huge lead in the first half, and then they just couldn't control the ball in the second half, and Duke made a run. Wes, I'm concerned about Duke. And hey, I know they're 3-1. I get it. I know they're going to take another week off. And that's one of my concerns about the Blue Devils. You know, they took the pause to take some time off in December. Coach K just wanted everybody to take a mental break and what wasn't comfortable, and that I got no issue with. But, hey, we're now getting into mid to late January, and even K says, hey, I got to figure out the identity of my team. You know, that game last night was ranked versus ranked. You're going on the road. You're playing the best ACC team you've seen, right, going in that game last night. Prior to, you'd beaten a bunch of winless conference teams. Last night, they got punched in the nose right from the get-go, and I just didn't see any go-get-em. I mean, Virginia Tech at will goes to the rim in the first half to jump out to the big lead, and then Duke finally said, enough of this. We got to go slap the floor and go get after somebody. And they came out in the second half, got off to a good run, got it within one, but just could not get over the hump. And Matthew Hurt continues to play well. But Duke needs some work, and here they are. They're getting ready to take another week off based on the schedule. I think that's tough. I mean, you got all these new young guys. You're trying to find a chemistry, an identity, and you got to get into a rhythm. So right now, today, January 13th, I am concerned for Duke. I really am. It's going to take some work now, and they got to get back to work.
Pack, is it a question of – chemistry? Is it a question of what is it from your perspective? Is it playmaking? You know, last night that you mentioned they fell behind 18. They cut it back. It was at 5 a couple different times. I'm not sure they ever got it. I was getting ready for the game we had. I'm not sure they ever got it to a single possession, did they?
Yeah, they got it to within one. They got it to like 50,
one, okay.
56, 55, 55, 54, something like that. But they could never, you know, they worked so hard finally to get it to that point. Mm-hmm. Of course, keep in mind, Virginia Tech, I think, made 16 of their first 21 shots. And that sounds absurd.
They were
because
on fire early.
Well, they're on fire because they're shooting from 2 feet. I mean, they're going to the basket. And you're like, hey, the guy with the ball is the most important dude. Again, for me to be screaming at Duke basketball is almost absurd in itself, given the fact that Mike Krzyzewski's the coach. But I'm so used to seeing Duke defensively, you know, overplay the pass, get in your face, tough man-to-man. I just don't see it. And when you don't have a summer and you don't have, you know, play-in games and you don't have those scrimmages and you've taken a couple weeks off in December and now you got another week off, that's what I'm saying. At some point in time, it's almost baptism by fire. And, you know, the two teams that they played with a pulse in December, they got smoked. I mean, Michigan State and Illinois were just too big, too strong, too physical, and did whatever they wanted. So Duke's now 0-3 against ranked teams. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
That is not a coincidence. They've got to get to work. Now, I'm not telling you you can't fix it. You can definitely fix it. The way K recruits, the way he coaches, they've got good players. But I'm concerned about everything. Again, other than Matthew Hurt, you look at their team and you kind of go, you know, is Wendell Moore going to be the guy that shows up? I mean, the freshmen have been kind of sporadic. You know, Goldwire in the backcourt doing his thing, playing good defense. He's got great hands and feet and all that stuff. But I think Duke just needs to get to work. You know, it just kind of feels that way. And for Virginia Tech, the flip side, they confirm what we thought. That's a good team. And Mike Young's guys, they've got weapons. They can beat you different ways. And again, when they shoot lights out and have their way at the rim, they're going to be a tough out. And they've already proven that. Ask Jay Wright and ask four of the five ACC teams that they've beaten.
Well, the other issue, too, is you mentioned the Duke, the three losses to ranked teams. That hasn't happened since Coach K's third year in Durham, 1982-83. So you got to go back a ways. But, you know, the story about Virginia Tech continues to be the development in Mike Young's second season. And last night, he was proud of his basketball team.
I mean – let's not beat around the bush. We've got a pretty good team. I think we got a chance to be really good. We're not really good right now. So I don't think it's anything more complicated than that. You know, as Mike Barber asked, you know, I look down this roster, Aluma, Mutz, Beatty is playing good basketball for us. You know, it's like Aline, Cohn or Couture, somebody is going to have a 17, 18, 19 point game and really make it hard for you. There are going to be several nights when two of them ring the bell like that. So that would be my response.
He's got a good team. And you know what? Like I said, they've got multiple ways to attack you. And they're playing with confidence. So tip of the hat to Mike Young now. You know, we kidded around before the season started about the infamous sources. Hey, you guys, you wait and see. We got a good club in Blacksburg. What, you know, you guys going under, you're going to overlook us and all that stuff. Hey, nobody's overlooking Virginia Tech. They are legit, and they are, I think, upper third for sure in the ACC. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the other thing helping them, too. You know that they were going to be pretty good shooting the ball, right? And they're in the top half of the ACC in percentage. I was just double-checking here. They're making 8.5 threes a ball game, which is behind Boston College, who, by the way, all of a sudden has become, you know, just this three-point shooting machine, especially Rich Kelly. We'll talk about that later. Notre Dame averaging 9. That's about the only way the Irish can score. And Syracuse averaging 9. Here's the surprising part, perhaps, of what you're thinking. When you thought of Virginia Tech this year, did you think that would be a team that through 12 games would have a defensive rebounding percentage of 77%? No, you didn't. But they do. They are number one in the ACC in defensive rebound percentage. The other part is they're in the top half of the league in offensive rebounds per game. It's a team that while you're not familiar with the players from a household perspective, Keve Aluma was a guy that got bigger and stronger in the transfer year. That was something that Mike Young noted in the offseason, that last winter when he was forced to sit on the sidelines because he didn't get a waiver, amazingly, Aluma got stronger, and Virginia Tech's benefited from that. But here's the other thing, too. He's got 6'4", 6'5", guys. It's Tyrese Radford now, Pack. He'll go wood chop with the big guys. Now, he's got no problem going in against guys 4, 5, 6 inches taller than he is to contest at the rack. And I think that's one of the things that's benefiting them right now. A missed shot for them is not always a lost possession. They are doing effective things on second chance opportunities. And here's the other part. You don't think they're big enough to control the glass at the opponent's end of the floor. They do a good enough job on closeouts that they're limiting people. I mean, that rebound percentage number is huge.
Well, if you didn't see the game last night, number one, shame on you. It was ranked versus ranked here on ACC Network. Number two, if you're watching these highlights on our show, Look how many easy baskets. And I, like I said, I'm not a basketball coach, but I've watched this stuff for 100 years. Teams are just attacking Duke. I mean, it's like, go to the rim and see if anybody wants to get in your way. Like I said, Duke's got a lot of work to do, but I like the Virginia Tech Hokies. They've got multiple ways to beat you, and I just think they're playing with confidence. Even when they took it on the road to Louisville, you know what? That was a crazy game, right? Crazy start. Here comes a rally. Louisville's in control. Virginia Tech fought back and found a way to make that really, really interesting. And you could make the case Louisville might be the best team in the league right now. So, again, the Cards play tonight in Winston-Salem. But if you watched the game last night and you hadn't paid attention to any basketball all year, and you know who Virginia Tech is, you know who Duke is, and their tradition and their history, at the end of the night, you'd say, well, the dudes in the orange are just better than the other team. And last night, Virginia Tech was better than Duke. And if they played tomorrow, Wes, I would tell you I'd take Virginia Tech to beat Duke again. I just think Duke needs to get to work. They need to get back playing again. But I like this Virginia Tech club. I really do.
I do too. And I think one of the things is they bring that powder keg off the bench.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, Jalen Cohn comes off the bench. And, I mean, we joked on Sunday night, he's a little bit like the modern-day Vinnie Johnson. He's the microwave. You come on, he hits a shot. Bang, here we go.
And kind of plays like him too. I mean, he comes up those screens on the baseline and goes vertical, and he's going to out-jump everybody, but he is going to score, and he's getting the basket. Again, keep watching these highlights, and you'll be like, holy mackerel, man. What are you going to do here? Pick your poison with these dudes in the orange. I like the fact that Mike Young, the coach, it says, you know what, we got a good club. Let's cut to the chase. I like that. You know why? Because while there's so much unknown with where we're going in hoops, I think he's taking advantage, and rightfully so, of, hey, my guys are playing well, we're beating people of note, and I'm going to run with it. While everybody else tries to figure out their schedule, they're off for a week, or taking 2 weeks off, they got to opt out, we got COVID issues. Hey, I know if my guys are playing, we're playing well, so let's run with it. And I think it's an absolute spot-on approach, and I love the fact that he's transparent and says, as opposed to, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got a long way to go. You get all that coach speak? Nonsense. We're good, and we can play. So I think if you're a Virginia Tech fan, I think you ought to be jacked, because I think this team can stick their nose in everybody's business. And, hey, they've already played Louisville. They've already beaten Clemson. Yep. They've already beaten Duke. So it's not like they've loaded up on the bottom feeders right now in the league that haven't beaten anybody yet. And again, last night, one of those changed, which we'll get to. But today, if you're Virginia Tech Hokie, life is good. If you're a Duke fan, I would be a little concerned. It's like, hey, I know we got talent, but we got to start beating somebody of note here. We're 0-3 against ranked teams. We're taking another week off. COVID's crazy. Yeah. There's no guarantees on what games you're going to play. There's a lot of work to be done in Durham.
I would agree with that. I think, too, that they got to find a way to ultimately tighten it up all the way around, right? I mean, Matthew Hurt can score it and rebound it as well as anybody Duke's had in the last decade. But got to find a lockdown lineup defensively. You got to find guys that can get you shots that aren't Matthew Hurt. And, again, I still believe what Leonard Hamilton said. We didn't have all that stuff. We didn't have those processes play out. It's a little bit different card you're being dealt, and some teams adjusting at different speeds. But Virginia Tech should get all the credit in the world. Hokies off to a really good start, 10-2, now 4-1 in the ACC with the win over Duke last night. We got plenty of show, including two more ball games that were on the chart last night. We'll get to those coming up as well. We got Dan Bonner coming up. We got Taylor Soule of Boston College is going to join us. Mark Schlabaugh, who crafted the ESPN.com way too early top 25 that Packer was excited about yesterday, is going to be.
Has it changed since yesterday?
I think maybe there has been an adjustment. I think we may have seen an adjustment in the last 24 hours of the way too early. So now we're just too early. Yesterday was way too early. Now it's just too early.
I mean, North Carolina apparently got some running back from Tennessee. Does that bump Mac up three or four spots in the top five?
Again,
just ask.
That's why we're bringing my man Schlabaugh to the program today.
Okay.
Love Schlabaugh. Comes with dry humor. He's funny, clever, knows his ball. We're looking forward to having Mark Schlabaugh here. Hey, plus, his dog got loose one time at Sanford Stadium years ago and stopped an SEC football game.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
If you've been stuck on ACC Network, you probably saw, listened, and watched Wes Durham, and he is back. He never slipped. He went right from North Carolina, Syracuse, right into Packer and Durham, and which is exactly what we're going to do in this segment. Now, Mr. Durham, I caught your act last night. I don't know if I have seen a game as goofy in the second half in terms of stretch runs back and forth. I don't know if I've ever seen a game, quite frankly, that was tight at half. In the second half, we had runs of North Carolina 9, Syracuse 13, North Carolina 10, Syracuse 8, and then the Heels close it with a 10-2 run basically to win the game. It was as goofy a second half in terms of, all right, is anybody going to take ownership here? Because just when you thought somebody was in good shape, here comes the other guy. And then when you thought, well, that team's, they're toast, here comes the other. It was goofy. It was a tennis match.
How about the game's leading scorer going scoreless in the second half?
It was weird. It's a weird game.
And again, the game starts. Buddy Boeheim clearly goes on fire with about 4 minutes left. And then he gets some help from Guerrier, and you're all of a sudden thinking, well, wait a second. Syracuse is going to cut this thing down. They're going to take the lead to the locker room.
Yeah.
And it ends up being 40-40. And then the second half starts, and Carolina blisters 9-0. Syracuse goes 13-0, 10-0, back and forth. And, you know, I jokingly said Clark Kellogg calls it spurtability, and that's exactly what the entire second half ended up being. The interesting part for me is that we saw Carolina get scoring last night from the bench. Now, Roy Williams shuffled a lineup on the floor last night to start the game he hadn't used all year. Da'Ron Sharp was not terribly effective, got into early foul trouble after putting together two really nice ball games for the Tar Heels, including the win at Miami. But when Caleb Love threw in the three and R.J. Davis started throwing in the three-pack and Kerwin Walton started shooting twos, well, then all of a sudden Carolina kind of started looking like maybe what you thought Carolina was going to be this year.
And maybe that's what they will be. Like I said, like Duke, North Carolina to me kind of falls in that same category. You know, you hopefully kind of get into a rhythm, right? To who are we? Mm-hmm. And for the Heels, they've now won three straight. But it was such a weird game that you're sitting there going, every time you felt comfortable with the team last night, here comes the other guy. And then when you fell in love with that guy, the other guy would go nuts. So it was a fun game to watch because he had the back and forth. And really, with 3 minutes ago, he had no idea he was going to win the game despite all those runs by both teams. But it was an opportunity for Syracuse to steal one on the road. And for North Carolina, again, I think they keep getting a little bit better. I'm still not sure what they are, but you knew they were going to dominate inside, and they did. They continue to really own Syracuse in this series since the Orange have joined the league, winning now 10 of the last 11 straight up. The one they lost, ironically, was the ACC tournament game. But it was a fun game to watch because it was so unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, and the other part, too, is you thought if Carolina was going to win the game, they were going to have to be good inside. And guess what? They were good inside last night. Garrison Brooks scored the first points of the ball game for Carolina last night, and he rolled 16 points, 10 rebounds. Armando Bacot, who had been a little quiet, to be honest with you, in the last couple of weeks, he comes back 15 points, 12 rebounds last night. We mentioned Sharp had been in foul trouble, but Carolina got a lot of bench points, did not get a ton in transition last night, but it's also their first ACC game this season decided by more than 5 points in picking up the win last night by a grand total of 6. So they broke that trend. And by the way, they shot the free throws pretty well. I thought they shot free throws pretty well last night too, especially down the stretch.
Well, you mentioned bench points, 27 points in the paint, 42, 17 plus on the rebound side. North Carolina inside is a problem for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. The Heels have size, they got experience, they got depth, all of that. If they make shots, they'll be a tough out. If they don't make shots, then, hey, hold on for dear life and see where this thing goes. I'm still curious about Syracuse, though, aren't you? mean, they lose the big lead at home and lose to Pitt.
Yeah.
You know, they were awesome on the road at Boston College. Last night was a winnable game with 3 minutes. Could have gone their way. Didn't. Hey, no shame losing North Carolina on the road. I'm still not sure what to make of Cuse moving forward. I do like part of their pieces, but one of the things that Jim Boeheim talked about was as far as size inside, they just don't have it. And so from a matchup perspective, that is not a good thing when you see a team like North Carolina that's going to come at you with big bodies inside.
Well, they've got to get Burama Sidibe back, obviously, to enhance who they are interior-wise. The other thing, too, is there's going to be a night, and it's going to be bad news for whoever's drawing the orange, where you're going to get Boeheim, Guerrier, Griffin, and Girard all hitting shots.
You're in trouble.
And when that happens, won't matter.
Yeah,
because last night at the end of the first half, Buddy Boeheim and Quincy Guerrier were just – they were driving it. And I think Joe Girard is going to have moments this year, but right now he's not able to – and I want to say this the right way – he's not able to direct the offense and score the ball efficiently time in, time out, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's handling the ball a lot, but he's setting up Griffin, setting up Guerrier, setting up Boeheim. And does a good job, but you can't then go ask him to go get 22, 24 a game. So we'll see. But I think their team is capable. I agree with Coach Boeheim, and why wouldn't you? The man's won a million games. They've got to get better inside. Dolezal is going to have a harder time without Burama Sidibe. Jesse Washington played minutes last night. You know, it's that's an uphill fight for Syracuse at that particular position for sure.
Speaking of making shots and bombs away, I said to you yesterday,
holy smokes.
I said it wasn't a must win, but it was a gotta really want to need it, right? And BC got it last night, and boy, Kelly and Heath went off. They scored 27
they
and 25
respectively. They got 52 from two guys.
Well,
52
they also,
from two
when
guys.
You, when you make 18 threes, I like your chances. I don't care who you're playing. And BC made everything they looked at. When you shoot 51% from three land and you make 18, the other guy only makes two, I really like your chances.
Look at that
and
one.
So BC got a much-needed win last night.
My man, Stephon Mitchell, with the old school lefty three. How about the way he tees it up, right? He looks like Buddy Lou Pasillo in Raleigh in the old days for the Wolfpack of Everett Case when he cuts it loose, doesn't he? Gets it just like that, gets it, you know, lined up right there in front, the old Billy Packer textbook shot. How about Rich Kelly last night, Pack? I mean, he's just throttling it.
They had to win the game. You know, Jim Larrañaga said afterwards.
Now, wait
he
a
said,
second. Wait. You just said it wasn't a must win, and then you come back with they had to win the game.
Well, there's a difference between a must and you got to win it. I mean, they had to win the game. You can't be 0-0. It's a big difference. I didn't say it was a must win, but it was as close as to it as you can. You can't be 0-5 and have a wounded Miami team come in there and lay an egg. You can't do that. So they had to get the W. But I know this much.
Yeah.
Jim Larrañaga said their practices leading to that were terrible. He said, last night, we were awful. Tonight, we were awful. And, hey, yeah. He's being honest. And when I saw the result of that game, you know the first thing I thought of was NC State.
What?
I thought of NC State.
Oh.
I did.
Why do you want to do this to those people?
I'm going to be honest. That's what I'm going to do to you. Because when you are going to try to be one of the teams in the top third – those are the kind of games you can't lose, right? That's why BC, last night, Miami is walking wounded. They're playing with both hands tied behind their backs before they get likes back and everybody else. For NC State, you can't lose that game Saturday. But for BC, you had to win that game. And you're 0-5, and you're looking down a schedule going, hey, when do we get a win? And they've played well enough in small periods of time. I mean, they had Duke on the ropes the other day. They could have won that game at Cameron. So you had to win that game if you were BC last night. And to make 18 threes and put that one in your back pocket, good for Jim Christian.
Yeah.
They needed a dose of some positivity. That's a best case scenario for Jim Christian was the way they played last night and won the game.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. It's a big win for Boston College. You know, every little bit of momentum helps here. Tough one for Miami, but you're right. Health has got to be a bigger concern for Jim Larrañaga. They got to get Likes and McGusty and some of these guys back or else.
Tough.
It's going to get thin quick, right?
Already is. I mean, they got a bunch of young guys that are just grinding, man. They're playing their, you know, Timberlake and those guys, they're playing their tails off. But BC put on a show last night, man. I mean, they made everything. They look good.
Yep. More basketball coming up. We got three games tonight to talk about. Actually, one starts this afternoon at 4:30, right after Pat kicks off that afternoon radio show over there on 84 on Sirius XM. We're going to have basketball.
You know what stinks? At 4:30, we're going to have ACC Hoops, and I'm going to be talking to Mark Few from Gonzaga at 4:30 today. How about that?
How about maybe that y'all can break the game down. A little live scoring update for Mark Few, maybe.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. Coach Few's already seen Virginia. He can break down Virginia for me because he took the Hoos to the woodshed, and their team is awesome. That is a big-time team he's got.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. We just rattled through the three conference games last night. But, Wes, as you pointed out, beginning this afternoon, that's right, this afternoon, we give you another triple header of ACC Hoops, and we start getting more pieces to the puzzle. That's kind of how this looks, right? We're still not exactly sure where we're going. There's some teams that have shown some sign of life that you feel pretty good about, like Virginia Tech, like a Clemson. And then you wait for the Blue Bloods. Louisville's off to a good start. We're going to see them tonight, taking on Wake Forest. But Florida State, right?
Yeah.
Haven't seen them play in 21. Now, we had Leonard on yesterday. You'll get to a little bit more of Leonard in case you missed it yesterday. But I'm curious to see where that goes. And NC State is another team that I'm high on, even though the LL week of last week is rearview mirror, but going to Tallahassee won't be easy for the Wolfpack.
You start to wonder a little bit about kind of the – and in the case of Florida State since December 29th, and if you missed our visit with Leonard Hamilton, stay tuned. He'll in case you missed it, comes up here in just a few minutes. But the Noles probably need to, remember, kick it into the gear when they take the floor today, right? I mean, they need to kind of come with the momentum and the continuity and some of the things that we were – starting to earmark. Yesterday with Coach Hamilton, you'll notice in the visit, he rolls through several guys when he starts talking about his team. But really, Pack, you and I know it's Scotty Barnes, it's MJ Walker. Those are the two for me that the Noles have to get something from every night.
We've gotten to the point that with all these pauses and delays and COVID and departures from your regular schedule, you become out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, the Noles lost two of their last three to end the 2020 calendar year. They've not played a game yet in 21. And as we're sitting here talking about Duke, you know, they're going to take another week off from a schedule standpoint. So you don't have a chance to really see them. Virginia's gotten off to kind of a quiet start.
There's
of course,
one.
The Hoos. We'll get to Virginia here in a second. They've got Notre Dame again coming up. Florida State's the other team, right? That, hey, the defender of the last year's championship in the league. You know they're talented.
Yep.
I mean, but where are they? I mean, here we are in the middle of January, and it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. It's a very strange vibe to the ACC, and really for college basketball across the board because of all the delays and disruptions and so forth. But I'm curious to see this tonight with Florida State and NC State, and I want to see how NC State bounces back. You know, the tough loss at Clemson last week could have gone either way. They let the thing get away from them against Miami on Saturday, which I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be one of those kind of teams, you got to win games like that. And now I got a chance to steal one on the road at a place where it's really tough to win in Tallahassee. So, again, this is, to me, the intrigue mystery game tonight is NC State, Florida State.
Yeah, I agree. 6:30 on ACC Network. Mike Cousins, Jordan Cornette have the call for you. With the Noles and the Wolfpack. We start the afternoon drive with Virginia. And the Cavaliers now, time to probably start seeing this thing round into form, right? Remember, we used that term back on Monday, of teams that potentially are going to round into form. Virginia show you some round into form. They got to prove it again tonight, right? Or this afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, 4:30 to start. I'm not going to be able to watch it. I'll live vicariously through everyone else here at ACC Network on that bad boy. But you're playing Notre Dame. And again, Virginia has owned the Irish, right? We've documented that. They just saw each other not too long ago. But like we were talking about with Duke, you know, with Virginia, I just need to see more. I want to see them get back to work. They got a big game at Little John this weekend. Knock on wood, we have that game at Clemson, which will be a tremendous game. But, you know, they got to continue to take care of business and get better on the defensive end. That's what I want to see about Virginia, right? We're so used to that pack line defense playing great in the transition and so forth. It's been a little loose compared to years past. Hauser's been a great addition. Huff's playing lights out. More consistency in the backcourt. You know, Virginia's going to get better as the year goes on. I expect them to take care of business this afternoon. But that's another team that I'm waiting for them to start saying, hey, guess what? Virginia, we're back to playing Virginia basketball.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kihei Clark will be a big part of that. Jay Huff, let's see what happens. Cavaliers this afternoon against Notre Dame. By the way, Irish, quite simply, have been in the Commonwealth since Saturday when they arrived to play Virginia Tech, take the bus up to Charlottesville, now get the Cavaliers. Let's see where Notre Dame is. Notre Dame's winless now. They and Wake Forest, the only two winless teams remaining in the ACC after BC's win last night. We're going to close this with the Deacs, who host Louisville tonight. Tell you what now, the Cards pack, last week when they got Virginia Tech, they kind of looked the part. I thought we were getting ready to see Louisville turn the corner, and then they had their weekend game postponed. So let's see what happens here with Louisville tonight. That's a group that also, if you're gonna start making that climb here, you probably need to get started in Winston-Salem here.
And I think if you're Louisville, this is one of those games you look at and you say, listen, if we play our game, we win this game. And for Coach Forbes, I believe, even though they're winless, I believe every game they've played in the league's been on the road off the top of my head. So this will be the first home opener from a conference perspective.
Right.
Even though home court kind of means nothing these days, given the COVID situation. But the Deacs have at least given you spikes. They're kind of like Boston College in a sense. Yep. They've given you, you know, small samples where they've actually played well. I thought they played well at Cameron Indoor for the vast majority of the game over the weekend and had a chance, quite frankly, before Duke went on a run late second half. So, again, I've been impressed with what Forbes has done in a short period of time, despite a zero in the win column. Louisville's a talented group. And really, ever since they got woodshedded at Wisconsin, and granted, they had 40% of their team that day. Not that that was an excuse, because obviously Wisconsin's good, despite them getting beat last night by 100. Louisville's been very good since. And when they get healthy, if they can get healthy, this is a super dangerous team. This team right here, in my opinion, can win the ACC regular season and beyond. That's how good they are.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Jalen Withers, who certainly had a good ball game over the weekend. I want to see if Withers can put another one together, to be honest with you, Pac. Because if you do that, then that helps you, you know, until Williams comes back inside and things like that. I mean, you get a kid like Withers to step forward. We know Johnson's going to play well. Carlique Jones is going to play well. Samuel Williamson's going to give you minutes that are key. But I, you know, a young guy like Withers caught my eye the other day. I want to see if that's if that can be a constant for Chris Mack. That could be a big deal. That could be a real big deal for Louisville till they get Malik Williams back.
You know, tomorrow we unveil accounting for the first time this week.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
So we've changed up for folks that are going, Pat, why didn't I see you guys accounting this week? Well, we're going to start doing it during the hoop season on Thursdays. Yeah. So we'll see. Again, I've already made mine out. I got it sitting right here.
What? How'd you make it out? We got games left.
Well, here's what I did. I'm not going to give you the quick. There it is. All right.
Wow, look at that.
I'm not going to let you steal.
It's on a small piece of paper, almost like the state's evidence is being handled.
And I've made a mark of who I think is going to win tonight. So I'm assuming, which is a stupid thing to do, that's what it's going to look like first thing tomorrow morning. So
do we need to check with Drew Brooks on who's going to win tonight?
Well, you could go Lumberjack if you want on that. I mean, Brooks will tell you what the line is. He knows what all that stuff does. We don't even keep up with it, but Brooks does. Brooks is all over. So I got accounting ready to go and a Sweet 16 that's locked and loaded. And by the way, I'll give you a little hint. I know.
It's Wednesday before 8 o'clock.
Hey.
We do accounting on Thursday.
I got it.
Having it ready Wednesday at 8 o'clock with some premeditated type picks, that's not really good.
I'm busy. I got stuff going on. So I got a new Sweet 16, and I will just tell you right now, Kentucky fans, I know you had fun, thought it was cute last week getting on my case. I'm sorry you're 0-4 in the ACC. You Kentucky fans, I hope you enjoyed getting the living daylights beat out of you last night by Alabama, and I wasn't even talking football. But I am taking Kentucky off the 16 spot, even though I could keep you there for the rest of the year at 0-4. So Kentucky will be out of the Sweet 16 and a new Sweet 16 tomorrow in the county. There's your tease.
Great. Big Blue Nation apparently is able to sleep tonight knowing that.
Well, they're not sleeping after watching their team last night get absolutely woodshedded.
I didn't see Devontae Smith or Najee Harris on the floor last night for Alabama.
You know, that's, and by the way, and that's an Alabama team that beat Kentucky by 100 last night at Rupp that didn't beat Clemson. Keep going back to those Power 5 wins that Brad Brunell lined up, beating Purdue and Maryland and Mississippi State and Kentucky. They're a good club, too. Hopefully we see the Tigers in Virginia this weekend.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. In case you missed it, Leonard Hamilton, head coach of the Defenders, Florida State Seminoles. They are back in action tonight against NC State. We asked them, though, hey, during all this time off, how have your kids adapted to the free time?
Well, we still have a lot of stuff we got to improve on. Number one, we have guys shifting roles. We have guys that have moved on, very good players. We have three guys in the NBA now, the fourth one is playing in Europe. So we had a really good team, lost some very valuable access to our team last year. But we have guys stepping up to new roles. They're making adjustments, like Anthony Polite, Raquan Gray, Malik Osborne, Balsa. Those guys are stepping into different roles, and even MJ Walker now is our leader of our team now. So those guys are adjusting. Then we have four new players. Unlike in the past, we need for those guys to be more farther along than some of the guys we've had in the past. And we have a point guard that was a power forward in high school that's made tremendous progress. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. But it's a difference in trying to learn your team, know where everybody is, learn the strengths and weaknesses, learn your system, offense and defensively. That's a big adjustment for a guy. So we're still growing and developing now. If we can just find a way to win our share of the games while we're growing, I think before the end of the season, we're going to be a pretty good basketball team.
Coach, yesterday Seth Greenberg was on the show, and I put him on the spot, and I said, today, right now, the best team in the ACC is fill in the blank. And without hesitation, he said Florida State. Now, here you are giving me a list of all the 15 guys that you bring off the bench playing. Don't have any idea right now the identity of your team. Haven't seen you play a game yet in 21. But yet a guy like Seth Greenberg, who watches everybody in the country, says right now your team is the best team in the ACC. How about that?
Well, that's a tremendous compliment, but I don't feel as the head coach of the team that we are playing the best in the ACC. I still think we're still growing. We're still developing. We have guys like, for instance, Sadar Calhoun and Wyatt Wilkes and Nathaniel Jack. Those guys are really good contributors to our team. I'm finding it difficult to figure out how to utilize them. I have three big guys, Balsa, Nagam, and Ballard, who I think are still learning and growing into our system. And so we still have some fine tuning to do. There's a possibility that toward the end of the season, we could be in that category. Right now, we're not playing the best in the ACC, no doubt about that. But this team is still learning and growing. We got a lot of moving parts, and we're at that point where we still got to grow and develop. Let's see where we are.
I think I can ask you this question the right way, in that you are familiar with college basketball when it had a smaller schedule in terms of games, right? I mean, you coached long enough to know back when there were 24 or 26 regular season games. That might be a cap to a season. Yeah, don't act like it. You know, you just showed up here the other day and we started playing 36, because you know we used to play 24 or 26 games back in the day. But the idea that that you're going to have a smaller body of work. How do you talk to kids about that? Because the intensity of every game now, especially when you've had some that have been postponed, only increases, I'm guessing.
Well, that's been the biggest challenge for us. And I just dropped my earpiece. That's been the biggest challenge for us because we needed those exhibition games. We needed those earlier preseason games to kind of find out who we are. And we didn't have those. And we had limited workouts in the spring and summer. So we've been affected a little bit by that. But we all are in the same boat. You know, it's not something mm-hmm. we can complain about. What we got to do is find a way to make an adjustment mentally and emotionally. I feel like that's where you lose, where we're behind. Those exhibition games, those early season games, it gave your kids a chance to get on the court, to adjust to the crowd, the atmosphere, that mental and emotional mindset that you have to be into in order to be consistent night in and night out. The confidence that you gain from either making mistakes or having some successes really, really is important. We have missed that. That's probably the biggest challenge that we have to overcome. And we got to find a way to catch up. And I think our guys will.
You know, you get a really talented NC State team coming to town, mm-hmm. and they're coming off a tough week. And really, they went 0-2, could have really easily won both games. So I get a sense that since we haven't seen you guys play in a couple weeks, that energy level to go play has to be prevalent from the get-go, because you know NC State is sitting there licking their chops going, man, we let a week get away from us that, quite frankly, we should have won both games. And now they get a chance to go play big, bad, mighty Florida State, the defenders from last year. So you know you got a talented group coming in there tomorrow, don't you?
I have a hungry group coming in that's different, playing more up-tempo. They're picking up full court a lot more. They basically start four guards that are all can catch, pass, shoot, dribble, pass, create off the dribble. They make good decisions with the ball. And then they come off the bench with some shooters. They come off the bench with some guys that really, really, I think, are bringing it. And I've always said that 70% of all the games in the ACC are decided for 4 points or less. And now, and that's obvious in the last two games that they lost. Now, anytime two ACC teams play each other, you know some sparks going to be fired, and you can't tell who's going to win. It doesn't matter if it's the top team or the team at the bottom. It's going to be a dogfight, and that's what we're facing. And we have the word is delusions of grandeur. Now, you know, I don't know very many big words, but that's about as good as I can go. that's the best I can do, you know.
Coach. It's too early for that. It's only 8:27 in the morning. You can't be doing that to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Knocking out delusions of grandeur. Hey, all right, so you've had this pause, and you hadn't been able to play games. So has the old coach been scouting a little bit? You've been sitting there with the notepad watching games? Is that what we've been doing, taking a look at the league?
I went fishing.
Really?
I don't believe that in a second.
Man, I don't think I've been fishing since my dad took me. my father took me Highway 74 between Gastonia and Charlotte, some little pond. I was bored stiff out there on that pond. Anyway, I've been watching films. There's no doubt about that. And we've had a lot of Zooms with our players, trying to make sure we improve in some areas that we can improve on. So, but we're anxious. I mean, we're anxious to get back to work. This is a good league. This whole situation is different. We're dealing with this pandemic. So some teams are going to stay the same. Some teams are going to get worse. Some teams are going to get better as a result of the adjustments that they make during this period that we're going through. We want to be on the side of getting better.
Good one tonight. Looking forward to seeing Florida State back in action and looking forward to NC State bouncing back after a tough week. That will be a very, very intriguing matchup tonight.
Yes, sir. And it's game two of our triple header here on ACC Network as well. Looking forward to all three ball games for a variety of reasons. You kind of sense you know, last week we had kind of that cluster group pack, you know, we were trying to build, what was it, 1 through 5, I guess, at the front, right? We were trying to,
who's
in
the
accounting,
alpha?
You just sort out, yeah, and who's the alpha? Still kind of looking, don't you think? Although the Hokies helped themselves last night.
Yeah, you know, listen, we'll do accounting tomorrow. I think Louisville has positioned themselves. Now they got to go take care of business on the road tonight in Switzerland. And, you know, Virginia Tech, I like their team. We've not seen Clemson play in a week. I was looking forward to the game in Chapel Hill to get a litmus test on both sides. We didn't get it. They will see, hopefully, Virginia on Saturday, which is a big, big game in Little John. We keep talking about Florida State, out of sight, out of mind. We know they're talented, but we haven't seen them play. Duke's got work to do. North Carolina's won 3 in a row. Syracuse can still be dangerous. Nobody talks about Pitt. I mean, there are so many questions regarding the league right now at the top. And for NC State, hey, you let one get away at Clemson last week. Could have won it. You didn't. You let the game definitely get away at home against Miami. Now you got to go steal one, right? Can you steal one at Florida State? We'll find out that answer tonight.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.